for the most part, the supply chain is very healthy. Manufacturers are producing, and we haven't had any supply issues as of yet.
Hi, my name is Jason Hall. I'm the president of AMCO, or the American Master Chef's Order. Some history on AMCO. It was formed in 2014 by a group of master chefs, including Bill Franklin, who spearheaded this concept. The idea was to look at the brand, see how we can further develop it and develop the exam going forward to meet ever-changing needs within the industry, to offer a coming together of our guild once you've passed the exam on the other side, and then also to start to develop the training and support needed for candidates as they approach the exam. Our mission is to promote, sustain, and perfect our craft, all while identifying and supporting and inspiring the next generation of candidates as they progress towards becoming an American Master Chef. You can reach us and see more information on our website at AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.
Welcome to episode 3 of the AMCO podcast. We're here with John Reisigel of Cheney Brothers, and he's here to talk with us about some of the current issues and interests and possibly give us some keys and some tips for the time ahead for food service providers. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We also have with us Master Chef Jason Hall and Master Chef Tony Seda.
A new study that I saw last week showed that 3% currently of our locations are permanently shut down. That equals about 21,000 locations, food and beverage operations that will not reopen. And, you know, with no end in sight, that number potentially could really grow. At the same time, you know, if everything does reopen in a, you know, kind of a rush, do you see any issues with food shortages, kind of staging that food out to be ready for the unknown? How are you all planning to deal with that currently and in the future?
Thank you, Jason. That's really a two-part question. So let's talk about the food shortage piece. Right now, the supply chain is very healthy. Manufacturers are still producing. We haven't heard of any plants that have been severely affected by the COVID-19 virus. So we are able to get as much product as we need. Most distributors, like Cheney Brothers, we have a lot of product in inventory in our warehouses. So we've got ample inventory to sell restaurants when they reopen. There could be some short, periodic shortages on some of the more perishable items that distributors are getting tighter on, and that would be your dairy items and your produce items. But if it is a short-term shortage, we're only talking about a day or two until the pipeline comes back. But I think the supply chain is very healthy. Some of what folks have seen in retail isn't indicative of the supply chain. What's happening in retail is the runs that are going on some canned goods and perishable items, milk and eggs and that sort of thing, simply because of the quick overnight demand for retail that's having runs on those items. The warehouses of your supermarket chains, they're full. They're fully stocked. They simply couldn't get the product from the warehouses to the shelves quick enough. It wasn't because they didn't have product. It was just their supply chain wasn't set up and ready to handle that. On a food service side, you won't see those issues. Our supply chain is set up to be able to handle the restaurant business. And when they come back, I think we'll be in really good shape. As I said, there could be some sporadic items, like a few produce items and stuff like that, that you might have shortages on. But the global statement, will there be a food shortage when restaurants come back online? No, we're not expecting that at all.
Sorry, that's a huge relief to know. I mean, really, and I definitely think that we've on the call discussed that more than a few times. So
just in the building I'm sitting in right now, we got $40 million of inventory sitting in our warehouse as we speak. So We've got plenty of food, and we haven't had issues. You know, the only issues we've had is we're gravitating to some more retail business. So, like, you know, we'll give you an example. You know, Campbell's has a lot of soup, but they might be short on some of the individual serving size cans of soup. Canned fruits and canned vegetables, number 10 cans are plentiful, which is what the restaurants use. But the more consumer-friendly 16-ounce size of cans are hard to come by because there's runs on that. But from a food service standpoint, the pipeline's pretty full. Jason, the second part of your question was the amount of restaurants that are closing. And I saw that same study, I think it was by Technomic maybe, that showed that 3% of the industry has already closed their doors, which is fairly impactful. We feel that number is actually going to grow. The longer restaurants are shut down, the more of your independent operator, smaller local restaurants aren't going to be able to withstand that amount of time without revenue coming in. And it's a concern for the industry, and it's a challenge that we're all going to have to face.
Topic to discuss a little further, the retail side. You know, I can only imagine that, you know, with the way that we eat in America, and constantly families are reliant on eating out 2 to 3 times a week, probably sometimes even more than that, all of a sudden they're now kind of fending for themselves at home and, you know, trying to decide what are they going to cook 7 nights a week or, you know, 7 days a week for their family suddenly. So I could see how that shortage could definitely impact inventory and pars for the retail side.
Yeah, and that's why what you see in the retail side, you see a lot of runs on ground beef, right? That's an easy thing for somebody to make at home. They can patty it into a burger, they can make a meatloaf, but you don't see those runs on a lot of maybe fresh fish items or some of your higher-end cut steaks. That isn't something that's typically a big home consumer type of meal. It's been mostly on your chicken and ground beef.
Makes sense.
Getting back to the amount of restaurants closed, I mean, I've read some estimates where it could be up to 20% of independent operators won't reopen, which I think that number's high, but it's a scary number to think about.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, looking at some of the things that are out there, and it's probably one of my biggest pet peeves now too, is, you know, what we have to establish trust back into, you know, our customer base. You know, and that's going to be one of the things that we're going to have to be doing and how we're going to be able to communicate that trust. You know, I'm currently reading a book, Excellence Wins by Horst Schultz, and it is absolutely magnificent. And even in his book, one of the things that we have to do is that we can never lose the trust of our customers. So, you know, number one, it's going to be how healthy are the individuals in the restaurant? What sanitation measures are we doing, you know, especially in the restaurant that say, hey, come on in, the takeout and the delivery of, you know, restaurant product. And I really feel some of our packaging is going to have to change to the point where it cannot be tampered, you know, it's got to be tamper-proof in one way, shape, or form. So these are the things that I'm really looking at on how are you going to be ready, you know, for some of these things that are, you know, currently being used by some of the restaurants today because they're in takeout and delivery. You know, are you going to be building up a lot of sanitation, you know, supplies? You know, are there going to be masks that are going to be available through your operations, cleaning supplies? You know, what is the new, you know, cleaning supply the cleaning product that we're going to need? The last I heard, it's going to be a peroxide-based, you know, product is going to be on there too. So, you know, all these things are coming in, and it's going to be a new venture for, you know, you as a supplier. And for us is, you know, receiving and making these orders. So I'm just wondering what your, you know, how are you going to get ready for all of this?
Well, great points, Tony. And I think they're all excellent points that you make. So what we've done here at Cheney Brothers, for example, is we just started with this item fairly recently as delivery has been more prevalent. We have sealed bags for takeout. So when the food goes into a bag, whatever container you're using, whether you're using a plastic octagon shaped container or, you know, whatever type of clamshell you're using or whatever, that goes into another bag. we offer for our customers, and we started to really bulk up on the inventory of this, and it's a seal proof or it's a tamper proof bag where it's kind of like think of an envelope where you rip the paper off and the envelope automatically seals. Same concept. It's a large plastic bag. There's a seal that you tape that you rip off, you seal the bag, it's tamper proof. When it gets to the consumer on delivery, you'll know if that bag's been broke open since it's left the restaurant. So to your point, packaging will change, packaging has to change, and distributors like ourselves have to stay on top of that and make sure we have ample inventory and are bringing in the latest and greatest of packaging needs. Your other, the other things that we're doing as well, we've always carried a big inventory of gloves. We're bulking up our supply of gloves. You're going to start seeing potentially hostesses and food runners now wearing gloves when they go to serve food to the tables. Masks are something we've never carried before. We're now carrying masks in inventory. That's going to be more prevalent. And the last thing you mentioned, Tony, is about sanitation. You know, the good restaurants have always done it the right way, but it's going to be more prevalent, and I think consumers are going to notice more on the people that are doing it the right way versus the ones that maybe aren't doing it the right way. So having spray bottles and spray sanitizers more prevalent throughout the restaurant, seeing somebody working the door, you know, a host or hostess, sanitizing the door handles to walk in and out of the restaurant very frequently during the course of meal periods. The days of a bucket of soapy water and a dirty rag sitting there that get wiped down the tables, those days are gone. Consumers are going to want to see a very high quality spray sanitizer on the tables, being wiped down after every serving, doors being wiped down, bar tops being wiped down, so on and so forth. So the industry will change a little bit. Distributors like ourselves have to be ready for that and have to have the right supplies for the restaurants. And restaurants are going to have to adapt as well and step up their front of the house sanitation.
I totally agree. Totally.
So, John, if we could flip that to the back of the house, right? Obviously, I mean, you're in control of the product from the warehouse up until the receiving and the loading dock. What are some things that your company's doing to ensure, you know, the minimization of any hazard or contamination, you know, between those two points with the driver and, you know, making sure that it's in the best set of hands and in the best care leading up until the loading dock?
Great question again. So, you know, during this crisis, our drivers are now wearing masks, which obviously I've never done before. We'll see how long that will continue through this. And through challenges and through crisis, sometimes comes innovation. Our IT team here at Cheney Brothers developed a really slick system to have contactless deliveries. And what that is we print our invoices at time of delivery. And in doing so, the receiver at a restaurant would have to sign a tablet. Well, now we've developed software that no longer will that tablet have to be exchanged between hands. Our driver can text that invoice from his tablet to the receiver's cell phone, and the receiver would sign with their finger on their own cell phone in order to print the receipt and create the invoice for the restaurant. So nothing will have to exchange hands between the driver and the receiver in the restaurant. We've always done a great job of sanitizing our trucks. Our trucks are power washed inside and out every single night with a you know, cleaning solution that sterilizes our trucks. So we've been on the forefront of making sure our trucks are as clean and sterile as they can be.
That's awesome. That's great.
Fantastic. You know, and some things like, you know, this that we can actually communicate, because it's going to be, you know, questions are going to be asked of us too. You know, are there, you know, what kind of documentation do you have that your supplier is doing it? Because right now it's also new. And we know that there may be some that's not going through the measures that you are right now.
So, John, just I like open-ended questions. So, you know, from where you're sitting, what are some challenges that you anticipate restaurants and food service providers are going to be facing?
Well, the biggest question would be, you know, when and how strong are the consumers going to come back? That is the big question mark we see in the industry, and it's kind of the big unknown. You got a few things at play. You've got, you know, the social distancing piece, where people are going to be a little apprehensive about going into a very crowded restaurant or a very crowded bar. So you have, that's kind of issue number one. Issue number two is you have a lot of people that are unemployed and out of work. Do they have the disposable income to go back out to restaurants and that? So there's a couple factors at play to see how quickly and how strong the industry rebounds from this.
What are some of the challenges you are preparing for?
Yeah. So the challenges that we foresee at Cheney Brothers would be, you know, what percentage of our restaurants will reopen? You know, how many of those have decided to, unfortunately, maybe close their doors for good? So what will the landscape look like? The second question would be, you know, in those restaurants that reopen, you know, down in Florida, we have a very strong market. We've got a very heavy tourist market. You know, will that tourism rebound, and how long will it be until that happens? And when it does, restaurants that would normally fill up the restaurant, be on an hour wait, have a crowded bar, with what could potentially be some new social distancing standards that would be set up, how busy will those restaurants be allowed to be going forward? The last concern is, you know, the economy, with a lot of people out of work and a lot of people not having income. Do they have that disposable income to go out to eat? So where take a, you know, a restaurant that might do 300 covers on a Saturday night, are they going to be down to 140 covers? You know, what is that going to look like going forward? And I think there's a big unknown there. We do know there's a lot of pent-up demand. People are getting tired of cooking at home and, you know, can't wait to go out and get a nice meal in a restaurant. So the pent-up demand will be there. But it's there's really a lot of question marks in the next 3 months and 6 months of what the restaurant industry will look like.
Well, and in particular, how exactly does the restaurant industry deal with that pent-up demand?
You know, I just spoke to a friend of mine yesterday that ran a large country club in Westchester. And, you know, his suppliers, I mean, you know, they had thousands of pounds of fish, fresh fish. You know, and some of the things that they may have gone for $5 or $7 a pound are now going for $2 and $3, just so he could try to, you know, move his inventory. So I think, you know, in that regard, there's quite a bit of, you know, makeup that has to be, you know, done. The fishing industry, how has it been impacted? You know, I just came out of the, you know, the turkey industry. And one of the things there is, you know, it takes 19 weeks to, you know, to have a turkey ready to go to processing. And, you know, right now they're just building abundance of, you know, meat on the market. So when we come out of this, I heard pork prices are down, poultry prices are down, beef prices, I'm not sure about that one yet, but I can assume that they're on the down too. But, you know, it's recapturing, or it's not only restaurants that I'm looking at. What's happening, and what are your things from hearing from some of the farmers and the ranchers that are and suppliers of poultry, or what they are doing to, you know, some way try to mitigate some of these things that are happening to them?
Yeah, it's been challenging for the suppliers, for the beef suppliers, for the poultry suppliers, because, you know, they're not, the retail doesn't use the whole animal, so to speak. So I'll go back to what I said earlier about ground beef. Ground beef is flying off the shelves in supermarkets, but tenderloins and ribeyes, not as much. Where tenderloins and ribeyes are more of a restaurant item, the demand for that whole cow, so to speak, right? Restaurants make up that demand for the whole cow. Usually it's your cheaper cuts, your grinds, your shoulder steaks, stuff like that, that are sold in retail. it's a little bit the opposite in the poultry market. You know, not a lot of people are frying chicken wings at their home, but there's a heck of a lot of them served in sports bars and sporting events and in restaurants throughout the country. So, you know, now there's a run on breast meat because that's what people are buying at homes because it's what they're set up to cook. It's what they know. It's what they know how to cook. The demand for wings has come crashing down because people are going out to sports bars. It's not a lot of sporting events. So it's really challenged the industry, you know, meat and poultry suppliers to kind of reconfigure their manufacturing and keeping up with the change of demand.
How has it impacted, like, you know, cheese as an example? And the reason why I asked that, I was watching a program this morning and I see where, you know, dairy farmers are dumping milk. And because they just, you know, with the number of schools that are out, you know, their consumption of milk is way down because that's where a majority of the milk supply had gone. So correct. I'm looking at, you know, cheeses, you know, they're not taking this, you know, this extra milk. They're, you know, it's just mind boggling to me to see some of the waste that's going on that we're not geared for. If I've got a surplus, what can I do with all this rather than disposing of or throwing it away?
Well, I definitely, sorry, go ahead, John.
Go ahead. I was just going to agree with you and say you're 100% right with that. Yeah.
Now that we're forced to look for alternatives, I definitely think that those, you know, those glitches in our system are definitely being pointed out and really, you know, being made to bear.
I think to kind of piggyback on that point, you're right. There's certain segments of the supply chain and certain products within categories that, you know, having these restaurants shut down is very troublesome for manufacturers to balance that. You know, an item that I didn't even think about and just came to mind when we were talking about dairy would be an item like heavy cream. You know, I'm not a chef. I'll never pretend to be. I have never cooked with heavy cream at my home. I don't know ever. You all are chefs. You guys know almost every restaurant you go into, they use a heck of a lot of heavy cream for a lot of the dishes. So, you know, there's certain items within, let's take the dairy category, that have really come to a screeching halt because you don't have that home consumer demand. It was more geared towards restaurants and food service.
What percentage of your business, there we go, is retail, grocery stores and things like that? And how much of your business that you supply is restaurants and food service?
So less than 5% of our business is retail. It's probably more like 3% or less is retail. We do very little retail business at Cheney Brothers. The bulk of our business is independent operator restaurants. It's restaurants, hotels, country clubs. We do some healthcare, so we do some assisted living, and we do some correctional business in the state of Florida as well. So the correctional business, the healthcare business is remains steady. But over 60% of our business is what we consider independent operator type businesses. In our terminology in our industry, it's called street business. So over 60% of our business is with, you know, single unit or less than five unit local restaurants. And those are the folks that have been hit the hardest with this pandemic that's going on right now. They're the ones that have, you know, really struggled the most, and you know they've had to shift gears and they have to change their business to a more of a takeout and delivery model. They've had to consolidate menus, which I think is a smart thing to do, to have less items to, you know, on their menu to offer for delivery and takeout. We do a lot of white tablecloth business in our market as well, and unfortunately those restaurants have probably been hit the hardest of all independent operators just because of the nature of the business. The, you know, the white tablecloth meals don't travel well for delivery or takeout. They've really been hit the hardest.
Well, and they're so dependent on disposable income as well.
Yes. Yeah. A family that's out of work is going to, you know, order a pizza versus ordering, you know, a nice piece of sea bass from a seafood restaurant down the street.
Right. Looking at restaurants that are obviously trying to lower their costs and trying to increase revenues and things like that, from a supplier standpoint, do you have any recommendations for our listeners of products to look to that maybe aren't being widely utilized, some products that might be, you know, offered more at a discount now, a way for them to, you know, to maximize on availability in the marketplace?
Yeah, great question. I think two things from that would be to have operators that are doing delivery and takeout to simplify their menus. You know, don't necessarily offer their whole menu for takeout and delivery. Operators will know the items that are best suited for delivery and takeout and, you know, focus on those items. What we've tried to encourage our customers to do as well is, you know, operate as a local mini mart. People aren't comfortable going to supermarkets. They're very crowded, especially your big box stores. They're very crowded. There's a lot of people. And supermarkets have been challenged on the supply chain side to keep their shelves stocked. So we've encouraged a lot of our customers to, along with those takeout meals, offer a pound of butter, offer a quart of half and half creamer for your coffee in the morning, you know, offer a pound of pasta, a roll of toilet paper, a box of gloves with that takeout order. Hey, you know, send me a chicken sandwich, an order of fries, and a pound of butter, a quart of half and half cream, and two pounds of spaghetti. And it helps them generate revenue, helps them generate cash flow during this time. We've had a couple very successful white tablecloth restaurants that have stopped cooking their meals for takeout and delivery. They're offering a lot of their same items in the raw form for the consumers to cook at home. And they've essentially turned themselves into a local grocery store that does deliveries. They're still using their own delivery personnel along with Uber Eats and Grubhub and some of the others to deliver to homes. But what they're doing is they're still buying full ribeyes from us, and they're cutting those ribeyes into four steak packages and selling four ribeyes as a package. They're selling paper towels. They're selling the 1 pound blocks of butter. You know, in the food service world, it's a 36 pound case. There's 36 1 pounders in a case of butter, but they're selling 1 pound at a time to the consumer. They're selling a dozen eggs at a time. So they're helping their restaurant customers that were coming in their door to buy from them and buy a lot of the staples that they need from their home. So these customers, these consumers at the home don't have to go to a retail grocery store, and it's helping the restaurant with cash flow. It's helping them push product through the door. It's helping them keep people employed and generate some cash flow until the restaurants open back up.
Those are amazing points. That's awesome.
You know, I'm looking at is they're probably going to be producing menus, printing them in-house. And the reason why I say that, either print in-house or they have them printed, and it's a one-time use menu. So, you know, right now when I look at menus, you know, like these multi-paged menus, I see them going away because, number one, you can't afford to have to sanitize each one of those menus after each and every time.
Great point.
Used.
Very hard to sanitize those menus. Very hard. And
oh, yeah.
I've been in enough restaurants where they're kind of nasty.
and that's what I'm saying. You know, with this maybe going on, it's going to take another thought. Is maybe I don't need all these items on the menu, or I've got specials that I can use that I can help to bring in some of those popular items on my menu. And then this day of the week, I've got it here. So I can then rotate those great items, you know, on my menu, you know, maybe a couple times a week. So, you know, and the other thing that I'm looking at right now that I see that you're probably going to have a run on salt and pepper mills, because mm-hmm. salt and pepper shakers on the table are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup mm-hmm. on the table, in my opinion, is gone. So, you know, it's going to be possibly the job of a server, you know, do you want a little extra pepper? And it may be a mill, but it's something that is not touched by the consumer. It's going to have to be done by the, you know, the server. And like you said, gloved, you know, that they've got it. And then there's a sanitation that's got to take place after it's coming in contact, you know. So all these things are going through my mind. Another thing I'm looking at, cash is going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all going to be done. I just got my new American Express. I mentioned that a little bit before. It's all touch. It's a touch America like Apple Pay and, you know, things like you've got out there now, so that we got less contact of the products that I own being touched by somebody else. And I think, you know, those are the things. I mean, salt and pepper, I mean, I don't see it being used anymore. It's like shakers on the table.
Well, and then ramekins.
Ramekins are going to go up. Yes.
Yep. Your ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise are going to be served in ramekins as opposed to having the bottles on the table.
Yes.
Yeah. The entire table service will have to change altogether.
Oh, yeah. So that means their consumption is probably going to go up in those particular categories, probably going to increase those particular condiments, too, because if I've got a ramekin, all of these items, and then they're going to be placed out in, you know, on the plate or whatever as an accompaniment. These are the things that, you know, that I foresee, you know, if I were doing it for the restaurants that I were running in the past, knowing that these are some of the things that we would definitely have to, you know, take into consideration. I know you probably thought about that.
Absolutely.
Have you at Cheney looked at doing any home delivery or doing any of the market concepts like you were talking about?
Yeah, no, we're not set up for home delivery. So home delivery isn't something that would be a fit for our business. However, there's a new company that's going to be a startup, and I really am not at liberty to say it right now, but we will be doing what we call some pick and pack. We'll be doing some pick and pack boxes for the home consumer, and they're going to be utilizing a delivery service for that. And that should be coming on the market with pretty big fanfare. They're going to roll out all the major cities within the next 30 days. And consumers will be able to get restaurant quality meats and ingredients for their home without having to go out to go to a supermarket.
Will it also be done on a will call basis too?
No, not currently. That's going to be for a delivery basis.
Okay, gotcha.
The other thing that we're doing, though, is again, what I said earlier about that one white tablecloth restaurant that comes to mind. We've had multiple restaurants offer their products for home delivery. A lot of the country club business that we do here, those country clubs down here in South Florida, they have been turning their clubhouses, because the golf courses are closed, and they've been turning their clubhouses into little local mini marts. So the residents in those country club communities don't even have to leave the community. They can go to the clubhouse. They can buy a couple pounds of pasta and a jar of sauce and a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk and a gallon of orange juice and take it back to their homes. A lot of these clubhouses are doing golf cart deliveries within their communities. A lot of them are feeding, you know, the restaurants are still open and they're just really essentially feeding the residents with hot meals. So yeah, they've really had to change their business model to take advantage of what's becoming a very heavy retail environment right now.
That's interesting, because that would probably be taking up part of their food allowance for the month so that they could then buy against that. That's a pretty good idea.
And you know, all of us on this call being in the business, you know, you all know the quality of meats that you get through a distributor are far superior than what you'll get in your run-of-the-mill grocery store. And once these consumers and these people in these country clubs are getting a taste of those quality meats and ingredients that they're now getting from their country clubs, I think there's going to be a demand there to continue with that versus going to a grocery store and having other people, for the lack of a better word, fondle over the packages of food before it goes in the cart. And, you know, I think it's going to create potentially a new demand for restaurants and country clubs to sell some of the items that they have in their restaurant, in their ingredient list, so to speak, to their customers.
Well, it's in essence, it's a lot like a return to, you know, knowing where your product comes from, knowing your butcher, knowing your farmer, the practices that were a lot more common, 25, 30 years ago.
True.
Well, you know what I like about that too, as opposed to, you know, when purchasing at grocery stores, especially in the beef end of it, you know, the aging process that they go through there is nothing like the demands that we have within the restaurant community, because I mean, we age it, you know, the way that it should be done, as opposed to some of the, you know, steaks that you might get into, you know, a large grocery store chain. So the quality is going to be different, and there is a noticeable difference when it becomes into the eating of that particular steak, as opposed from a grocery store, as opposed to what one would get from a restaurant.
I'll just say it's really encouraging to hear that you have all those practices in place for driver and delivery. That was something that we had, you know, talked about and shared concerns over for the past couple of weeks as this started to unfold, you know, and thinking about all the points of contact. We actually even spoke at one time about some sort of sealable delivery bag that could be, you know, a marketable piece, and that, you know, the restaurants and operations that do the best job of remarketing and rebranding themselves with these, you know, safety measures in place are the ones that are going to find, you know, the most success and trust within their customer group. But to hear all that you have put in place, you know, on the first stage of that food being delivered to the final customer is really encouraging. You know, and I hope that others, you know, are doing that, those same practices of, you know, no invoices and, you know, the protecting the driver from the stops and protecting the stops from the driver. When listeners go to the podcast on AmericanMasterChefsOrder.com, they can go to the resources tab and actually see the packaging that they're talking about.
Yeah, great.
Well, John, I want to thank you tremendously for joining us on our call today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
No, I'm just going to say thank you, too. This is very informative. And, you know, I just can't wait till our members and our colleagues are able to listen to this chat, because it's been great questions, great answers, and really, thank you a lot, John.
My pleasure. There's going to be three different attachments I'm going to send you, and it's all with our item numbers. And again, I want to feel like we're on the forefront of this, where there's the resealable bags. I'm looking at it right now. There's the resealable bags. And then there's also, you know, you guys have all used day dot labels or use by labels, right? These are very similar on a roll, and it's very simple. It's just a tamper seal that you can put this tamper seal over a like a deli container, like a 16-ounce deli container, put it over the lid and the side of the box. You can put it over the top of a soda, like a takeout soda, and it's got a hole that also protects where the straw hole will go. And you can also fold over a bag and put a seal on a bag as well. So there's really there's the bag itself, and then there's tamper seals that go with it. So there's a lot of stuff out there that we've had this in stock for 6 months now, and we've just gone crazy in reordering it. And I think when you see what I'm going to send you, you're going to be – it's going to kind of put you at ease on what's out there for tamper-proof on deliveries, and it's going to become the new norm.
Resources provided by the Cheney Brothers Corporation will be posted on the AMCO website on the homepage under the tab for resources.
On behalf of AMCO, I would like to thank everyone for listening today. This will be an ongoing series going forward. If you heard any topics today that you would like us to expand upon on a future episode, please feel free to contact us with questions or topics. You can reach us at podcast@AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.